All of the most important relationships in Lenin's life were with women. He had very few close male friends, and nearly without exception, he lost those he made, or they fell by the wayside, because of politics. Men had to agree with him wholesale and bend to his will, or be dropped from his inner circle. As a confidant for many years in exile recalled, "I began to separate myself from the revolutionary movement, and thus completely ceased to exist for Vladimir Ilyich." By the time he was 33, the only man he addressed by the intimate Russian "ty," rather than the formal "vy," was his younger brother Dmitry. For most of his life, Lenin was surrounded by women: his mother, sisters, his wife of a quarter of a century, Nadia, and his mistress, Inessa Armand, with whom he had a complex romantic attachment, as well as a close working relationship that waxed and waned in intensity over many years. During a decade and a half of exile in various cramped lodging houses throughout Europe, he lived in easy, friendly familiarity with his mother-in-law, a woman of strong opinions that differed markedly from his own. Invariably, Lenin's women have been dismissed as mere drudges who performed domestic chores for him, or were allowed to handle relatively simple and mundane political tasks. This is misleading. Lenin had more progressive and advanced views about the role of women than most of his male contemporaries in the revolutionary movement, though it is true that this does not set the bar particularly high. In many ways, Lenin the Great Radical was a conventional Russian bourgeois man of the late 19th century, hardly a feminist in the modern sense of the term. He expected the women close to him to cosset him, fuss over him, and look after him, which they did. But he listened to them, and took them as seriously in political matters as he did men. His wife, Nadia, is frequently portrayed as little more than his secretary, an amanuensis with no opinions of her own. Yet there was much more to her than that. She was a revolutionary when she met him, had been jailed and exiled to Siberia before she married him, and she played a vital role alongside him in the underground conspiratorial network that kept the flame of revolution alive in Russia before 1917. She wrote no works on Marxism or philosophy, seldom spoke up about political tactics or policy, and rarely contradicted him. But Lenin relied on her practical skills and sound judgment. She ran dozens of secret Bolshevik agents throughout the Russian Empire, and knew every aspect of the party organization. Most importantly, Nadia kept her husband's temper and fast-changing moods in check, which often demanded immense tact. Inessa Armand was another woman whose role in his life has been misunderstood, or, in the case of the Soviet authorities after Lenin's death, deliberately ignored. For 10 years until she died in 1920, they had an on-off love affair. Armand was central to his emotional life. She was also among the best-known women socialists of her generation, one of Lenin's closest aides, trusted to perform the most confidential tasks. Often she represented him at international gatherings of revolutionaries, a responsibility he delegated to very few people. She held positions by Lenin's side in Moscow after the revolution. Frequently she disagreed with him and plainly told him so, yet they remained inseparable. Everyone who knew her, including Lenin's wife, who became her close friend in a curiously touching and devoted triangular relationship, understood how important she was to him. Yet after he died, a cult of Lenin was developed by his successors, which encouraged worship of him as a secular icon representing the pillar of Bolshevik rectitude, and she was all but written out of Soviet history books. In the 5 years before 1917, he wrote many more letters to Inessa Armand on personal and political matters than to anyone else. Their correspondence and her diaries were censored for nearly 70 years, until the communist state that Lenin founded collapsed. Two of Lenin's sisters survived past their teens and worked with him closely in the revolutionary underground. Anna Ilyinishna Ulyanova, born in 1864, was his elder by 6 years. Maria was 8 years younger than him. Both were repeatedly jailed or exiled during the Tsarist regime for subversive activities. They helped to smuggle underground agents and socialist literature into and out of Russia. After the revolution, they held responsible jobs in the Soviet regime. For many years in exile in Europe, one or both of them, usually Maria, shared his home with Nadia and his mother-in-law. Throughout his life, Lenin relied on a network of devoted women totally loyal to him, and most of them to his revolutionary cause. They made great sacrifices for his career, and at times took enormous personal risks on his behalf. Revolution was a dangerous business. He could, and sometimes did, take their faith in him for granted, but the commitments went both ways. Many ruthless and cynical men are sentimental about their mothers. Lenin used to say frequently to family and comrades, "Mother, well, quite simply, she's a saint." He saw her rarely for the last 20 years of her life. She died in 1916 while he was in Swiss exile. But he was a devoted, not merely a dutiful, correspondent. Wherever he was, on his wanderings about Europe, he wrote to her regularly. The letters were rarely about politics or his literary journalistic work, but he reported often in minute detail on his domestic arrangements, his health, and his travels. Many are of a nature notes type, about his hunting trips or excursions in the Alps, one of his great passions being walking in mountains and the untamed countryside. His letters home are invariably addressed to Darling Mother, or Mamushka Dearest. His last, a few weeks before her death, ends, "I embrace you warmly, my dearest, and wish you vigor." Lenin was petulant, ill-tempered, and irascible, especially as he grew older. But his mother was the one person he never complained about to anybody, the only one to whom he always showed unqualified love.